This is the homily for the Epiphany of the Lord, 2023, at St. Anselm's Abbey. The readings for the day's Mass for the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 to 6. The letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 2 to 3 and 5 to 6. And the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. The homilist was Abbot James Wiseman.
I think we would all agree with something that the late South African Archbishop Desmond Tutu once said. Here are his words. I don't preach a social gospel. I preach the gospel, period. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is concerned for the whole person. When people were hungry, Jesus did not ask, "Now, is that political or social?" He simply said, "I will feed you." Because for us and for all, the good news to a hungry person is bread. I think it's for that reason that even in our own school, I regularly tell my students that if any of them decide on a career in public service or end up running for office, that would indeed be a very genuine way of serving people, whether on the local or national level. There is, of course, a darker side to running for political office. Among other things, the need constantly to be concerned with fundraising for the next election cycle, so as to make sure that you're not replaced by your opponent. This fear of losing office, or perhaps more crassly expressed, the fear of losing power, is on full display in the reaction of King Herod to the Magi's question. They asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews?" And hearing this, a gospel says the king was greatly troubled because he was king of the Jews, had no intention of letting some newborn boy rise up to take his place on the throne. This led, of course, to Joseph taking the Holy Family to Egypt, as well as it led to the murder of innocent children in Bethlehem, those we call the Holy Innocents, and whose feast we celebrated 12 days ago. Now, let's contrast that ruthless King Herod with the ideal king described for us in the 72nd Psalm, a psalm that's always been closely associated with today's solemnity, and which in fact has served just now as our responsorial psalm. Here we have a prefiguration of Christ Jesus, a king, a ruler, who, the psalm says, will govern the people with justice and the afflicted ones with judgment. He will have pity on the lowly and the poor, and the lives of the poor he shall save. Not only should we work to have rulers like that, we ought also recognize that each of us has a similar calling, regardless of our walk in life. Someone who long taught preaching right here in Washington, D.C., once put it this way: the responsibility outlined for the Israelite king in this psalm is in fact our own shared responsibility with our government leaders. The welfare of all people might once have rested simply on the king, but it's now resting on all of us. The actions of the faithful and those in power alike are to mirror the justice of God. Now, it would surely be irrelevant for anyone to object on the grounds that he or she was not a member of the royalty, not a king or a queen. For in fact, our basic understanding of the church is that we are all one, head and members, sharing in the kingship of Christ Jesus. And this is beautifully expressed in one of the prefaces that we use during the ordinary season of the year, where we're all described, in the words of that preface, as a chosen race, a royal priesthood. a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. And to have a glimpse of what kind of behavior this calls for, let's consider for a moment the life of a person who was literally a royal monarch, but who acted in ways that are exemplary and imitable for any of us. I'm referring to the late Queen Elizabeth II, who was beloved not only by people of the United Kingdom, but by those throughout the world. And at the time of her funeral, there were many stories told about her kindness. One such story was recently recounted in the newsletter of Stanbrook Abbey, a community of Benedictine nuns in Yorkshire. And their abbess, Anna Brennan, wrote as follows. A frontline war surgeon, traumatized by his experience of having to treat severely injured children in Aleppo, Syria, was at Buckingham Palace to receive an award. The Queen, sensing his trauma and the surgeon's inability to speak, asked him to help her feed her pet corgi dogs. So the two sat for 20 minutes together during lunch, feeding biscuits to the corgis under the table and stroking them. No drama, no show, just compassion and the Queen's sensitivity to need and a desire to help someone. That doctor was transformed by the experience of Queen Elizabeth's living faith. Clearly, there was nothing in Queen Elizabeth's behavior that would be beyond any of us in similar circumstances. And even though our own opportunities for kindness to those in need may differ considerably from hers, our 72nd Psalm, that is in fact often called a royal psalm, can lead us all to see that anyone in need, whether near at hand or far away, deserves our attention and our service. There will always be special opportunities for each one of us, perhaps different from those of anyone else. And among many other people, such opportunities are available for our Benedictine oblates in their own daily lives. Each year, on this Feast of the Epiphany, we receive the final oblation of those who've been having their training as oblate novices over the course of the past year. Each of them, like us monks and like everyone else gathered in our church today, or who might be watching the service online, each of us has a God-given calling that's not exactly like that of anyone else, despite some obvious commonalities. Everyone should take prayerful time to discern what his or her own special calling is, and then embrace it. Because only in that way will anyone really come alive and be able to make a difference in serving God and neighbor. A significant part of that calling for our new oblates includes living their own lives in light of the gospel and in the spirit of Saint Benedict's rule. So I'm now pleased to ask our director of oblates, Brother Ignacio, to bring forward Luis Suarez and Ben Robinson as they will make their own oblations.